The better ones operated on wavelengths invisible to the human eye. Some people had plasma cannons or heavy pistols, and one had an efficient-looking micro-howitzer. But only Hauser had a projective rifle, and an old, crude, slow-firing one at that. He checked it over for the 10th or 11th time and cursed it. He cursed the leaky old suit he'd been given too. The visor was starting to mist up. This whole thing was hopeless. The shuttle started to lurch and vibrate as it hit the atmosphere of the planet Marjoin, where they were going to attack and rob something called the Temple of Light. It had taken the clear air turbulence 15 days to crawl across the 21 or so standard light-years that lay between the Sorpan system and that of Marjoin. Craiglin boasted that his ship could hit nearly 1,200 lights, but that sort of speed, he said, was for emergencies only. Hauser had taken a look at the old craft and doubted it would even get into four figures without its outboard warping engines pancaking the ship and everything in it all over the skies. The clear air turbulence was a venerable Hronish armoured assault ship from one of the declining later dynasties and was built more for ruggedness and reliability than for performance and sophistication. Given the level of technical expertise possessed by its crew, Hauser thought this was just as well. The ship was about 100 meters long, 20 across the beam and 15 high, plus, on top of the rear hull, a 10-meter high tail. On either side of the hull, the warp units bulged like small versions of the hull itself, and connected to it by stubby wings in the middle and thin flying pylons swept back from just behind the craft's nose. The Cat was streamlined and fitted with sprinter fusion motors in the tail, as well as a small lift engine in the nose for working in atmospheres and gravity wells. Hauser thought its accommodation left a lot to be desired. He had been given Zalin's old bunk, sharing a 2-meter cube, euphemistically termed a cabin, with Wubslin, who was the mechanic on the ship. He called himself the engineer, but after a few minutes' talk, trying to pump him for technical stuff on the Cat, Hauser realized that the thick-set, white-skinned man knew little about the craft's more complex systems. He wasn't unpleasant, didn't smell, and slept silently most of the time, so Hauser supposed things could have been worse. There were 18 people on the ship, in 9 cabins. The man, of course, had one to himself, and the Bratzilakins shared one rather pungent one. They liked to leave the door to it open. Everybody else liked to close the door as they went past. Hauser was disappointed to find that there were only 4 women aboard. 2 of them hardly ever showed themselves outside their cabin and communicated with the others mostly by signs and gestures. The 3rd was a religious fanatic who, when not trying to convert him to something called the Circle of Flame, spent her time wired up in the cabin she shared with Yalsen, spooling fantasy head tapes. Yalsen seemed to be the only normal female on board, but Hauser found it difficult to think of her as a woman at all. It was she, however, who took on the job of introducing him to the others and telling him the things about the ship and its crew which he would need to know. He'd cleaned up in one of the ship's coffin-like washpoints, then followed his nose, as Yalsen had suggested, to the mess, where he was more or less ignored, but some food was shoved in his direction. Craiglin looked at him once as he sat down, between Wubslin and a Bratzilakin, then didn't look at him again, and continued talking about weapons and armour and tactics. After the meal, Wubslin had shown Hauser to their cabin, then left. Hauser cleared a space on Zalin's bunk, hauled some torn sheets over his tired, aching, old-looking frame, and fell into a deep sleep. When he woke, he bundled up Zalin's few possessions. It was pathetic. The dead youth had a few t-shirts, shorts, a couple of little kilts, a rusty sword, a collection of cheap daggers in frayed sheaths, and some large plastic micropage books with moving pictures, repeating and repeating scenes from ancient wars for as long as they were held open. That was about all. Hauser kept the youth's leaky suit, though it was far too big and non-adjustable, and the badly maintained and ancient projectile rifle. He carried the rest, wrapped in one of the more tatty bedsheets, down to the hangar. It was as it had been when he'd left. Nobody had bothered to roll the shuttle back. Yalsen was there, stripped to the waist, exercising. Hauser stood in the doorway at the bottom of the steps, watching the woman work out. She spun and leapt, did backflips and somersaults, kicked her feet out and jabbed punches at the air, making small grunting noises with each sharp movement. She stopped when she saw Hauser. "Welcome back." She stood and picked up a towel from the deck, then started to rub it over her chest and arms, where sweat glistened in the golden down. "Thought you'd croaked,"